Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com. And we encourage you to check out our website and also check out our programs and just see what's available for you. We're excited about the fact that we've been doing this for so doggone long that it's just a whole lot of fun to keep doing it. So that's what we're going to do. And we encourage you to get involved in whatever way that you can by going to our website or checking out our guests and their websites. I think that you're going to learn an awful lot in that regard. So please go to the various links that we have. We don't recreate. We try not to recreate the wheel. That's why we don't have a lot of content on our website. We direct you to where the content truly lies. Today's program is going to be dealing with the book entitled The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart by Rashmi Kilnani. And I want to welcome you to our program. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's wonderful to be in California and on your show.
It is, I think the first thing we need to do is define for those who don't know, who is the Divine Mother?
The Divine Mother is not exactly a person. The Divine Mother is the energy of the goddess. It's the divine feminine energy that exists within every single human being on the planet. It's the energy of allowing, being, unconditional love, creativity, manifestation, the unmanifest, the silence, bliss, joy, and healing. It's archetypal energy, primordial energy that exists within all of us.
Now, this energy that you say exists within all of us seems as though some say there's the primitive aspect to all of us. And that's why we have the issues, the challenges that we're dealing with today in our world. This is a different kind of primordial or energy. Is that correct?
Well, it's eternal energy. So, you know, some might describe it as primitive, but it's also coming from the past, future. It's timeless. It's, embodied in the various goddesses that have been worshipped on Earth and been revered within each of us, Mother Mary, Durga, Lakshmi, the Celtic goddesses, and so on. But ultimately, it's not a person outside of ourselves or even a deity that we worship. It's very much energy that creates the manifest reality from the unmanifest.
Now, you were born in India, and so you've been exposed to much of, because I know where the Divine Mother, the term, comes from.
Yes.
In that sense, many of us here in the West are becoming more acquainted. I've had the privilege of having on our program several mystics or sages, if you will, swamis from India who
yes.
were born there.
Yes.
Extraordinary individuals, wonderful interviews. I can't get enough of them for the most part.
Fantastic.
But you were born there, so you have had, I'll call it, the privilege of being raised in this culture and energy.
In India, as we know, Richard, of course, we worship every single aspect of the divine. We even have a god for sex, and, you know, we use the cow dung in so many different ways, and mm-hmm. we see God in everything and in the nothingness as well. It's a deep level of spirituality there that is inculcated in people's, it's in the blood, you know, and it's a sense of knowingness as opposed to having to intellectualize the truth. And in the West, of course, that is always a problem, no matter how deeply spiritual people become. They want the methodology and the scientific angle, or at least some form of being able to understand through the mind. But ultimately, the divine needs to be experienced through experiential wisdom that comes from initiation, prayer, meditation, being alone in nature, being with our children, being quiet, being still, chanting, and so on. So, yes, I did live in India when I was little, but I lived in Egypt, actually, till I was six. And the book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, is a channeled book. It's available on Amazon.com and Kindle and Barnes & Noble and Waterstones and many, many sites across the globe. I have been teaching Reiki masters across the globe for many years, and I've been a channel for the Ascended Masters for many years, and have worked with healing, initiation, and so on, of many denominations of spirituality. And that's why I love Reiki, because it's universal life force energy. It ultimately is not a religion, and it doesn't just stick with one particular spiritual stream. The Divine Mother Speaks, it's the goddess Hathor speaking. She's the Egyptian goddess from Egyptian mystery school, and she's the goddess of creativity and unconditional love and celebration. This is the time of the goddess now. For 13,000 years, we've been very much in a cycle of the male energy, the manifest, the doing energy, the making happen energy. And somehow the goddess energy has taken a back seat, which is what happens in a sleep cycle. But now we're coming to a wake-up time, and you might have noticed that people are now meditating and praying all over the world, Richard. Have you been following that?
Well,
isn't it exciting?
Yeah, very much so. As a matter of fact, in many of my interviews, people talk about the various monastic orders around the world,
yes.
And that someone even made the comment that if all of the individuals around the world ceased their praying, their meditating, and so forth, things would get a lot worse than people perceive them as they are today. It's almost as though these folks are sort of the spiritual glue that's sort of holding everything together right now.
That's right. But what's amazing is that at the moment, people are really waking up in different waves. So some of us have been in this wave for a while now, because we were the pioneers, the mystics that came on Earth with the wisdom and came to teach and to awaken ourselves, because when you come in a body, you kind of forget, and then the game is to remember again. And then the next wave is coming, and by 11-11-11, I think there will be people all over the world that haven't done this before, suddenly waking up to past wisdom, praying, meditating, and connecting to this goddess energy. The goddess energy is not about male-female gender. It exists within men and women. Ultimately, the soul is androgyne. It's neither male nor female, and we come and go many, many times. And the energy cannot be created nor destroyed, ultimately. And the unmanifest is where we need to go now. When we go within and we go into meditation and we go into the silence and the wisdom of the heart within us, we have all the solutions to every single problem on the globe. And so, yes, there's a lot of fear kicking around. And as we know, the book talks very much about love and fear, and it talks about how to deal with this photonic energy, which is pure light, that is on the planet now, that is making every moment of everybody's life an intense initiation into letting go of what is not real and embracing true wisdom and oneness and sharing and coming out of fight, flight, and competition and so on. Would you not agree that feels like what's happening in your life?
I would say yes. Yes, I would agree.
Right.
I would also ask you if this channeling that you've done, and this isn't the only work that you have published of this nature. You have others that have spoken, if you will, in other volumes that you've written. Is this channeling that you do something that just came naturally to you? Was there any concern on any in any way on your part, as has been the case by others who have channeled,
who've kind of fought
it a little bit, yet they still did it? Like one in particular, Edgar Cayce.
Yes. Oh, that was amazing. Well, he's my soul brother from past lives, because he very much went back to ancient Egypt himself, which is, you know, I've had many lifetimes in India, and I've had many esoteric lifetimes in Tibet and China. And what I teach in this lifetime is bringing the wisdom teachings into the now moment in a very simple way, a very contemporary way, a very eternal way, to make it simple for people to use in their day-to-day lives. So for me, it's not about wearing guru robes and being on a pedestal somewhere and having an entourage, but really being on the street and being totally human. I've sold my homes and everything I have now to serve humanity in these last days of time and energy and money and sex and food and so on as we know it, because it's nothing to be scared about. We are moving into heaven on earth. That's what very much what the book is about. And it was in my last days of selling my studio. I work for Mahavatar Babaji, who's Lord Shiva. He was mentioned in Autobiography of a Yogi.
Yes.
He and the Divine Mother started whispering for ages for me to channel the book. And I was, you know, intellectually not ready because, you know, you think, who the heaven am I to do this? Even though I was working with the beings in Reiki initiations for Reiki masters and the many denominations of Reiki, Sekhem, Seishim, Rakuke, all the different streams of Reiki energy mastery. And so I just rang my colleague Amravati, and she transcribed, and I just rattled out the book. It was amazing how it happened. The energy was amazing, and the way the book has been received all over the world has been just unbelievable, because these are just eternal with truths that everybody knows about anyways, about breathing, about connecting the chakras to the heart energy, you know, if you want sacred sex, to connect the heart to the root and the second chakras, to connect the heart to the throat chakra for more truthful speaking, and how to just live simply and come out of destructive ways of being and doing into creative ways of being and doing. It's the goddess very much cajoling, tickling, inspiring humanity now, because we have free will. And yes, our brothers and sisters from higher consciousness are here. This is an incredible experiment of 7 billion people waking up to Christ consciousness, which is not just to do with Christianity, it's to do with unity consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so many, many beings are here to help us, but we have to do it ourselves. Each and every one of us has to take back our power, take the responsibility that comes with that. Stop looking outside of ourselves for the answers and not blindly following any book, teaching, or teacher that takes away our power, that does not teach us to empower ourselves and others and share and see the oneness within the diversity, which is, again, what the book The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, is talking about, the difference between absolute reality, where we are all one energy, and relative reality, within which we can continue to enjoy our individuality and the dance of the personality self as the detached witness of all that is.
You know, it's interesting, as I conduct these interviews, I do tend to ask what seems to some listeners, and even to myself, because I'm listening too, the same questions, but they seem to elicit some very interesting answers. And so I started asking this question in regards to the concepts that are written in the ancient wisdom teachings down through the ages. It talks about the unity, where we came from. It talks about the duality of this world. And then it talks about the unity to which we will return. And so my question is, well, then what's the point of the duality? Why are we going from to, if, why didn't we just stay there?
Because in the beginning there was nothing, which is what we come from, the nothingness. And the nothingness got bored.
So it now, no one's ever said that before, got bored.
Well, it wasn't a we, it was a oneness.
Mm-hmm.
It was a oneness that was silent and blissful. And so it decided to create, you know. It decided to discover itself through becoming subject-object. And that led to the creation of many worlds and many gods, goddesses. And then free will was given to these creator gods, and they created, and the whole thing became more and more dualistic. And somewhere in the game, we forgot, particularly on Earth in the last 26,000 years, or 13,000, it doesn't really matter how long it was.
Right.
It's a long, long time. And so it's like snakes and ladders a little bit. In India, we call it Leela, the divine play of Shiva, from the manifest to the unmanifest, back to the unmanifest.
Mm-hmm.
Even scientists know that everything is 99.9% hyperspace. And so within this, we have many, many probabilities and potentialities, and we can play on many stages of time-space continuums. We are multidimensional, and these gifts are not just there now for some of us that have studied Reiki and that have been mystics in past lives and this life and so on. It is everybody's birthright, and it's not something, it's, you know, to try and understand with the mind is to be linear, that we're going from point A to point B. No, we are already that which we are seeking to become. It's just that we have forgotten. A little bit like dust on a mirror. Does that make any sense?
It does indeed. It does indeed. I do find it interesting as we progress forward in time. There has been the observation, of course, that time is moving faster. Again, a perception.
Yes, absolutely. You know.
But I think one of the reasons why it feels that way is because it used to be, and I'm going back some 40, 45 years, it used to be that you dealt with life in larger chunks of days or even weeks. I mean, even if you went back 150 years, they dealt with it in months or even years as far as, let's say, information. But today, it's almost instantaneous. And that change, even on the material plane, and we'll say, let's talk finance, change can be affected within milliseconds today because of the computer age.
Absolutely.
And so what turned out to be a beautiful, bright, sunshiny day when you woke up that morning is a disaster by the time you put your head down on the pillow, if you even do that, because things are happening at that level. If you follow what I'm saying.
Yes. It's very much our technology is going to help greatly in this wake-up time. And, you know, things like Facebook, where I have 5,000 friends of light all over the world, and within split seconds we're all exchanging incredible information that then spreads, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're spreading higher vibrational energy of oneness, of, you know, the solution or the focus on, what we focus on is what we get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What we think about is what creates our physical reality. So in this time to come now, it's going to be, you know, people are going faster and faster, getting busier and busier. And so it's really important, as the book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart says, to slow down, to find time to get away from our gizmos, to find time to go within, to connect to nature. And without that, many people will feel that they're going crazy, and some actually will. And the old systems are going to crumble. They have to, because the world has been upside down. It hasn't really worked out for a few to have everything and the rest to be in degradation and starvation. It's really important for us to see ourselves as a global humanity and to really begin to feel this energy of oneness, which we can't feel through the mind. We can't feel through being busy and all the time rushing around. We have to find time to slow down and go within.
I know that when I find myself up on the hill where we live above Santa Barbara,
how beautiful.
I have the opportunity, especially now as the sun is going down earlier and you have the twilight and the cool breezes, and just to stand there and look at the trees and the surrounding hills. I mean, literally to stop. I may have my cell phone in my pocket, but it's not ringing. I'm not on it. I'm not hooked up with Bluetooth. I'm not hooked up to, and I love the word you use, gizmos. I'm not hooked up to any of my gizmos. And we have animals around us. We had one point when we first moved to this location, we had some 20 or 30 wild turkeys that literally would come up to the house and they would surround us. And it was a wonderful thing.
Amazing.
It was beautiful.
Amazing.
But to be able to do that, and that's one of the keys I keep hearing more and more from people on this program, in order to, whether it's make it through this transition time or transformational time, however you want to phrase it, to recenter oneself, we need to get back to nature.
That's right. And to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
and to get into the rhythm and the pulse of what is the earth going through. You know, when the earthquakes happen, the animals know what to do because they're in tune.
Yeah.
And human beings, you know, I was just in Charlottesville where I live in a hotel for months, and, you know, people just didn't know what was coming because they were not tuned into the earth, even though they live in the Blue Ridge Mountains, which are some of the oldest, most beautiful mountains in the world with all the lovely animals and things, as you say. And it's just really important to connect to the indigenous wisdom of the Native Americans and all the wisdom across the globe, not just the Mayan wisdom, and to realize that we can bend time. We can none of these things are as solid as we think they are. And we have wisdom from past lives to re-remember who we are and to have some dignity reinstated and honoring of each other. That's so important, not just honoring the celebrities and Prince Charles and all these people, but honoring everybody.
I've often heard the observation that the human being, as it is written of in the ancient wisdom teachings, is living a life today, and this kind of goes along with what you were saying, that is beneath or demeaning to the human being, that this is not what we were created for.
That's right.
And that we were created for higher things than being consumer producers.
And creating all the waste that we do.
Yeah.
And buying things that we don't need. And in the West, where we waste so much food while, you know, people are waiting, you know, at garbage cans to find that food to eat it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we have to see what's happening. And we have all the solutions. We have to see what the powers that be have done. And we have to acknowledge and discriminate and say no now. It's not going to be easy on that level. Having said that, eventually we've also got to forgive our leaders, forgive our governments, and take responsibility that our governments are us, that we have created these systems.
Yes.
And we have allowed the disempowerment and the tampering of our DNA, and that the conspiracy theories and the Illuminati and so on, and, you know, to understand what that is about, but not to go to the other degree of either, you know, not to go into suppression, repression of this doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, not to go into the imbalance of saying us against them. No,
yes.
They are within us. Darkness is within each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have allowed that darkness. And the thing with the darkness is, in the Divine Mother Speaks, the Healing of the Human Heart, there are many, many keys of how you embrace the dark into the light of you. And that doesn't mean saying yes to that which is not correct, you know, that does not honor and share with all human beings. And that is coming now. I think people are really waking up and getting very tired of the old dramas of manipulation, control. Do you feel that that's happening in Santa Barbara and in your life, Richard, around you?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Not
that,
just on these lovely radio shows.
No.
Where we're talking about love and light. And
I know. I have had criticism of the program because it was stated, well, you have all these wonderful people on there who are talking about, you know, we're all one and we're all love and we're all this and we're all that and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And they're all saying the same thing, to which my only response is, so don't you think maybe there's a point? But this is, I mean, really, I mean, come on, but here's, and it just dawned on me, here's the interesting irony. This individual who is being so cynical sees the connection between all of the guests and what they're saying, but is not seeing it in the context of, oh, there is a point there. They're all saying, and they're all saying the same thing, but they're independent of each other. That's what I find so fascinating about individuals around the world who come upon a certain piece of wisdom, and then another person independently comes upon that same piece of wisdom.
And it's eternal. It's the same. It may be spoken, and you know that's why I've channeled another book called "The Buddha Speaks to the Buddha Nature Within," which is.
Mm-hmm.
A different language, but saying the same truths as the Divine Mother book. Because
yeah.
The Divine Mother book brings up a lot of fear in people because the feminine has not been totally embraced even by women on this planet for 26,000 years. And also, everybody has issues around their earthly mothers. Well, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
So it brings up a lot of stuff. Now, when the Buddha book comes out next March, you know, that'll be a little bit easier for people. But those people that think that Buddha is a, you know, a person and it was a religion, then they're going to have a problem with that, you know, because ultimately anything that limits the divine is not divine. The divine is limitless and comes from pure potentiality in which all things are possible and allowed.
Although I do find it interesting, and I wish I could remember who said this, but it was that truth is truth until it is written down, and it's
that
no longer truth.
That is true. That is that on a certain level, that's absolutely correct, because that which we define, we limit.
Yeah.
So ultimately, the truth is an experiential. These books are, you know, they have the energy of the truth behind them. The ones that I've channeled, because I work with energy and I worked with the divine for a very long time. But ultimately, one has to take these books and the wisdom of books that actually have the energy and not just the beautiful words with no energy, and make it an experiential understanding by experimenting and not just blindly following.
Right.
And what's going to happen on the planet now is some people are going to wake up to the light and have the courage to be the first to say no and to make change. And some of the people right at the tail end will still be the ones that will only make the change because suddenly it's the fashion and everybody else is doing it. And the numbers are so large that they have to change because, do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But some of us have to take those baby steps now to say we have to be courageous on the path.
Well, we have even said on this program that we are looking for those new ways of living, and that if the ways in which we were living today worked, we would
That's
be doing a whole lot better. They are not, ergo, we are looking for those new ways. We're going to continue doing that on this program with Rashmi Kilnani, and we're going to talk more about The Divine Mother Speaks here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
Tell me your story.
Welcome back to the program. Rashmi Kilnani is my guest, and she is the author of The Divine Mother Speaks, and we are speaking with her today. That is Rashmi. Now, I hadn't asked you this up front, and I'm not putting you on the spot here, but when you are you able to, so to speak, channel these divine beings at will, or is this something that takes time to get into the proper state?
Well, both are true. It depends. You know, it's a moment-to-moment thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it as a party trick.
No.
I don't, you know, when I channel the first book, we created Sacred Space, and then I would channel. But I don't change my voice. I don't get into a huge drama. And I can actually channel for people almost anywhere. But I, as I said, when I'm channeling these books, then, you know, like with the Buddha book, we created a very sacred space and brought in Mongolian overtone chanting and so on. So with the Babaji book, Mahavatar Babaji teaches us here now, the Divine Father book, I'm going to Maui tomorrow, and we will be in a very sacred space even during the editing. And, of course, that's quite funny because, you know, how do you edit?
Well, yeah, I mean, really. How do you do that?
And so I have a publisher, you know, and he's the number one publisher of channel material.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making a film with Neil Donald Walsh called I, God, which is very much, Richard, what you've been discussing earlier, about the different voices saying the same thing in different ways. And hopefully people will realize that by the end of the film. I hope it comes out next year. Neil is going to be doing the narration soon. We've got all the, you know, we've got Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson, people of the street in New York, rabbis, all kinds of people, myself, discussing the same five questions about God and heaven and hell and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is for people to see the oneness, hopefully, and to be able to hear many voices and to begin to open their minds and their hearts that there's not just one way to the divine.
Yeah, and one of the things that I found so fascinating in my search, as I have called it since I was 17 and actually began my search with Autobiography of a Yogi,
That is Babaji.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Om Namah Shivaya.
I was so intrigued by so many of the stories, and so when I read the stories again, yes. they evoke not only fond memories of my teens and early 20s, as I'm reading this and the experiences that I had back then, but also getting or gleaning more from those stories. That's just where I started. I know that each person listening began their start somewhere.
Yes.
With something, whether it was a book or a person or an experience. I often wonder, you were raised in this, but was there a given moment, a specific catalyst that sent you on this path, or did you know this is my path for this lifetime?
Well, when I was little, I used to play around the sands of the Pyramid of Giza. And at that time, I was very connected, and I would speak to animals. And my mother said I spoke to a cow in the sky. And that was the goddess Hathor, who channeled the book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart. But then I went to India, and suddenly there were all the Indian gods and goddesses, and the whole Egyptian thing had to recede. And it was scary for me in a way. And then I was in London till I was 10. So I was brought up, you know, as a little Christian because I went to Sunday school and I loved Jesus and told my mom I wanted to convert. So
Have been an interesting conversation.
My mother was just like, you're 9 years old. We love Jesus. We've always prayed to everybody and had a very, my dad was the editor of the Times of India newspaper. But I mean, you know, he passed away quite a few years ago and he would have been amazed that I have done all of this because I married a very rich man when I was 26. I was just, you know, I had to get married. And I said no to quite a few different arranged marriage proposals all over the world. And this guy was really cosmopolitan and wonderful. But when I was about 32 years of age, I realized I had the world at my feet, but there was more to life, and that's when I wanted a meditation teacher and found one in Dubai, of all the places. And he was an American who was a Buddhist and the creative director of a big advertising company. Anyway, meditation changed my life, and I left my kingdom, and I gave up the marriage, and we're still friends. And I went to London, and they all said that the princess won't last 5 seconds, you know. And here we are today. You know, I went on to understanding what healing was and re-remembering through many, many initiations in Egyptian Reiki and other forms of Reiki, my past lives, and reading amazing books and doing teaching, you know, 20 modalities of energy medicine, and then working on the healing of major healers all over the world and meeting mystics. And I wanted to meet enlightened beings. So I met Sai Baba, and one day Babaji just popped up transcendentally in my studio in London, and Satya Sai Baba did as well for a while. But I find when I meet the physical body of some of these beings, like Satya Sai Baba, then I was more disconnected from the energy. Whereas Babaji, in this lifetime, even though I was in India when he was in that last body in Harikhan that was official, though I see him all the time, you know, I see him as a beggar sometimes or as a Frenchman on an aeroplane, etc. But as an official body, he was there then, and I didn't meet him in this lifetime in a body like my colleague and friend Leonard Orr did. And as a result, I have a much stronger connection, because ultimately the avataric energy is not a body. It's all that is in a body, which eternity coming down into time. It's just unbelievable, really. So, you know, what's really important, the people listening to this show are wonderful souls that are already connected in some way or another to divinity and generally speaking. So it's important for all of you guys out there to have the courage now to speak your truth, to share your truth, to share what you know with people, even using guidance and gentleness and compassion, because people are really freaking out and so much change is coming. And
oh, yeah.
We have to help each other.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And a lot of those people that need help won't be listening to shows like this, won't be immediately reading books like I'm channeling and other teachers are helping people with. So like Muji is a wonderful teacher out there, and Thich Nhat Hanh and all these teachers are amazing because they're teaching in a simple way, you know. But any teacher that takes your power, you've got to run away from now. Because it's time to become our own guru now.
Yeah.
It's time to take your power. Everybody's amazing. Everybody's beautiful. Everybody can channel. Everybody can heal. Everybody can do all of it. It's just we've forgotten, and then we can re-remember through experiential understanding.
Absolutely.
Just from opening the heart and opening the mind.
Who is Rashmi Khelnani?
That's a really good question. Nothingness, I suppose. I feel we all come from the nothing, and that's the space we go into when we meditate. And within that, you know, the most powerful question, Richard, that's really beautiful you bring it up. Ramana Maharishi talks about, do you know about Ramana Maharishi?
I've not heard the name.
Okay, he's a great Indian saint, and he talked about the Who Am I meditation and self-realization. And when we go into asking who am I in meditation, it is very much not an intellectual understanding, but to feel it within ourselves in the silence within. So who am I? Am I a body? Am I Indian? Am I global? Am I cosmic? Am I a goddess? Am I a human goddess? You know, etc. And ultimately, we are all these things and none of these things.
Hmm. And what do you hope and or want to achieve through the work that you're doing?
I feel like if I was to give myself a definition, it would be I feel like I'm like a bodhisattva that I would, you know, to me, I am not going to be 100% at peace, though ultimately peace is within us, and so it's a dichotomy of a part of me is always in peace, but there's another part that until all 7 billion humans on the planet achieve peace and sharing and love and so on and self-realization within free will and the highest good. So this is not evangelistic. This is not something where we force others or we make them wrong. You know, and a lot of the New Age movements, unfortunately, a lot of my colleagues teach wrong things. They teach people that if they're not becoming enlightened or they're not practicing certain spiritual purification, that they're bad, and those other people are giving them bad energy.
Mm.
You know, of course we have to be careful of energy, and of course if we go into a big crowd, etc., you know, sometimes energy can be kicking around. But at the end of the day, everybody is innocent, even the ones that have forgotten the way. Ultimately, for the Divine Mother, for the Divine, there is neutrality, there is no judgment. Of course, there's cause and effect, and as we sow, so shall we reap within relative reality. And on the absolute level, everything is okay. So, you know, it's really important to understand these things now for everybody. And for me, it's all about this awakening for humanity and to create heaven on earth, which to me is not... You know, it's about each individual being honored and the children being honored so that they can flower to their total creativity. And the things like money and all the things that have been worshipped on the planet, that we can put things in perspective and see that there's so much more that the Native American wisdom here understood, that, you know, it's about love and creativity and reaching our potential individually and collectively. What do you feel, Richard?
Well, I do feel that. I have talked with many, many people, especially in our day-to-day, about the current events and the changes literally from day-to-day, as we talked before about how things are moving exponentially faster just because of our technology and the availability of the information almost at an instant. And you know, there are some things that sometimes we miss because, well, no, they're not talking about that. That was 10 minutes ago. They're not talking about it. That's so 10 minutes ago, or, you know, how they used to say, well, that's so 80s or whatever.
Yeah,
but now it's like if you don't stay connected and if you don't keep up with what's going on, then some perceive it as you're going to be left behind, especially if you're talking about technology. Well, I don't have a smartphone yet. I had to go out and purchase one recently because of the work that I do here in terms of staying connected with the station that I work for. But I mean, if I could just completely disconnect from all of it, I would have no problem with that.
Yes.
It would feel just fine.
Well, morphogenically, we get it anyways.
Yes.
If enough monkeys evolve on one island, we find through experiment that other monkeys on other islands get the same information, even though they never met.
Right. And
so it's the same thing. If some of us get certain vibrational frequency, then that frequency emits for everybody everywhere.
Well, and I've even told people, especially when it comes to current events and however you want to put that, that you could take the same stories that are in the paper today, and you could change the names and the locations, but the events are exactly the same as what has been going on down through history, human history. So why do I need to keep bombarding my mind with those things? I know they're going. I'm not insensitive. I just don't see the need to continually bombard my brain and my senses with those things.
Well, mainstream media has been a big instrument for manipulation of humanity and keeping the sheep as sheep for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I think humanity is finally beginning to wake up to that. And the time of secrets and lies, as you're saying, Richard, is over because of the technology, because of the internet, because of social media like Facebook, etc. And I think it's important, what do we put out there? Let's not put out fear, because what we focus on amplifies. It says in The Divine Mother Speaks, the healing of the human heart, this is universal law, attention plus intention equals manifestation. So what do we choose to create now? More fear, more doubt, more separation? Or have we had enough of these dramas, and are we ready now to really connect to earth, to connect to simplicity, to connect to nature, and have amazing creativity and flow and synergy and magic and love happen? Individually and collectively.
Yeah. Well, Rashmi, I thank you so much for taking time to share with us today. It's been a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you so much. My website is www.rashmikhilnani.com. That's RASHMIKHILNANI. And the books and everything else, and the I God film, I'll keep you guys posted on Facebook. And
please.
So on.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate your time. We've been talking with Rashmi Khilnani, and again, the book is entitled The Divine Mother Speaks. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. Until next Saturday at this same time, love to Lal.